Merkel Media.
Everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkel, and I am here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've had a good week and are ready for this weekend. We have a good one for you this week. Episode 63, episode 64, Mysterious Palette. I meant to say that, Todd joins us again from episode 63 in this episode 64. Wow. Can I make this any more convoluted just trying to explain to you what episode this is? You probably have read the title, so you know when I said 63, that's wrong. Anyway, episode 64, Todd actually shares some more experiences about what it's like, you know, delivering not just to DUMBSs. Or DUMBs, wow, geez, deep underground military bases, but what it's like, you know, transporting a just very strange load that he had. It was one singular pallet, and he wasn't allowed to know what was on it, and he even explains, you know, asking questions about what was in the pallet, and he got no reply. He got, you know, told that he can't know, stuff like that. But anyway, he has a lot of other experiences. It was great to hear some of these wild things that he was explaining that he has seen and gone through on the road. And I just wanted to say, if any of you have some experiences you want to share, please go ahead and email us your experiences for the show at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or you can just go to the contact section at the website. You can submit whatever you have as experiences from the road, and we'll get in touch with you. We'd love to have you on. You know, there's a ton of people, and I just want to say this again, because I think I may have mentioned this a little while ago when everybody submitted their pictures for the thing, for the video that we had put out. You guys have some awesome, awesome rigs. And if you have these awesome rigs, I know you've got some stories. So, you know, feel free to not only reach out to us via email, but if you don't feel like reaching out to us via email and coming on the show, just give us a call on the voicemail line and we'll go ahead and share your stories. The voicemails that you leave, we'll go ahead and have a whole episode full of those voicemails. We just want to hear from you guys. We love to hear the stories. We love to talk to people about what they've done and what it's like driving wherever you're from. So yeah, go ahead, give us those emails and yeah, we'll get in touch with you. Anyway, let's get to this episode 64. Yes, I got it right that time. Mysterious Palette with Todd. Man, I am butchering this intro, but you know what? That's what makes this special. Anyway, geez, happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend as it comes up pretty quickly, hopefully for everybody. Anyway, I'll talk to y'all later. You have a good one. Peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Tony Merkel.
And we want to say welcome to our show. If you have a crazy story from the road, something that's happened to you, we'd love to hear it. And if you do, contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or you can contact us through the Hammer Lane Legends website. That's www.hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact. You can contact us that way. Either way works for us. We're good with that. And if you want to just give us a phone call and you just have a short story and you just want to share it with us on the voicemail line, you can give us a call. That number is 515-585-MERK or 515-585-6375. Merk. We would love to hear from you. We'd still rather that you give us you actually come on and talk with us, send us an email, talk with us on the show. We'd love to do that. But like I said, if you have a short story, the voicemail line is there for you. Also, remember, we have gear on the website. Make sure you check that out at the HammerLaneLegends.com website.
We're revamping that too. Lindsay's cool. Working on some new designs for both shows.
I love it.
Yeah, she's like, our store sucks. And I'm like, I know, because I don't care about it. I was like, she's like, it just sucks. And I'm like, well, I don't care about apparel. And she's like, well, people do. They want to buy something that looks good, though.
Wow.
And so,
good for her.
Yeah. So she's working on some things. We're investing some money in some new designs and things like that. And she's going to revamp the store and all that. But yeah, until then, we do have some good stuff for Hammer Lane, where it's just like the logos. Sure. And we have the Hammer Lane Gang t-shirts, yep. Which is really cool. I was that just wearing cool that this one. Week.
Were you?
Yeah, I was wearing. I actually worked to your house when I brought the freezer up.
Oh, that's cool. I went home, but
yeah, I was cool. Representing.
You were.
But yeah, hammerlanelegends.com/gear, and you can get yourself apparel there. And we are looking into getting the trucker hats as well.
Awesome.
I know you were.
I've been asking about that for a little bit.
Yeah, so. I know you were talking about that for a while.
Yeah,
and
Lindsay,
the website we use is Teespring, and it's nice because we don't have to ship anything out. It's just, you know, you order it and they do the whole thing. And the way they do the hats is that I have to have like pre-orders. So basically, I think from what Lindsay said is I'm going to actually have to buy a bulk of them.
Okay.
And then I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how it works. Lindsay figured it out.
Thank God Lindsay's doing this.
Yeah. This is Lindsay's job. She handles all the administrative stuff because I suck at it. But hey, listen, if you guys want, go to preparewithhll.com.
Yes.
That's hll.com. Get yourself emergency supplies. We are hearing rumors that there is a possible food shortage coming later this year, as early as a few weeks to 8 months away. So that'd be into next year. But the thing is, you just never know if you're going to need that emergency supply. So check it out if you want. Yeah. Preparewithhll.com.
I mean, we know what happened last year with the toilet paper. Imagine what will happen if we have actual food shortages.
Yeah. For the other show, I have an interview I just did this past week, and this lady has like prophetic dreams.
Oh, cool.
And some of these dreams are coming true or have come true.
Yeah.
Some of them are like dreams that seem little insignificant, but then they come true the next day. And after I interviewed her, she sent me an email the next day, and she said, I had another dream last night. And she said the dream was that there was volcanic eruptions happening, and they were all over TV telling people how to filter their drinking water from poisoning of the ashes.
Wow.
And that there were food lines going all the way to the back of stores and wrapping around the back of the stores. And then the date June 12th popped into her head.
Wow.
And so
that's like right around the corner.
It's right around the corner. Like wow. We're recording this. What day is today?
Today's 30th? The 30th. Yep.
Yeah. May 30th. So
13 days out.
Welcome to the rest of your life, yes. The next 13 days.
So that is preparewithhll.com.
It's not going to get there in time, but
at least you can get an order.
Get the order in.
Wow. Goodness.
And then when the world ends and stuff, you can say, hey, it's on the way. It may never get here, but it's on the way.
When the proverbial poop hits the proverbial fan.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to start getting prepared now.
Because
you don't know. None of us really know if you know these things are going to happen or not. But it pays to be prepared.
Yeah.
Be ready for it. You know, don't put yourself in a situation where you have to react to a situation. Put yourself in a situation where you're prepared for the situation.
Right. So who do we got this week?
Today we're talking with Andrew, and it's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, funny show.
Very funny
show. All right, today we got Andrew on the show. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, just working again on another Sunday.
How you doing, Andrew? It's nice to talk with you. He looked at me, like, he's like,
it's a real honor to meet you, Brian. Real honor.
Oh, the pleasure is mine.
You too, Tony.
Well, listen, apparently you and I have met each other before. So, you know, you're just, you and me, we're like best buds. We go back a long way.
Yeah, I mean, I was really excited to talk to you again until the fact you forgot about me. So, you know.
I forget about a lot of people, bro.
Like, he doesn't remember my name half the time, and I'm just dad.
Like, I talk to so many people, man. Like, when I text people for interviews and stuff, I save their numbers in my phone, and I save their names and everything. And it's crucial that I save their last name so that I can go back and look in my email for their name to see what I talked about to them. So if I ever need to know who they are and stuff, because it seems like every week I'm saving like 10 new numbers to my phone. It's just like, holy crap. But Andrew, man, listen, you were on the confessionals and you shared some awesome stuff. You had to jog my memory, but hey, to my credit, I did remember once you jogged my memory. So
this is true.
We're not going to hit everything today. We're probably going to have you back on again.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
But I want to kick things off. Now, you have experiences with over-the-road driving. You help with the fire department when you can. And right now, I think you said you're a fuel hauler, right?
Yeah, I've been running fuel now for about 6 years.
Okay, cool. So, listen, I don't want to hear about your fuel hauling stories right now. What I want to hear about is your governmental stuff. Okay, so you said you heard last week's show with Todd where he hauled something that he didn't know what it was across the country from Raven Rock. And you're like, I have a similar type story. I'm just like, well, then we're opening the show with that. So talk to me, man. What did you haul, or what don't you know you hauled, or whatever?
Yeah, I back then I was running refrigerated. I was over the road. I was picking up out of Port of Baltimore, and I was told to go up there and pick up bananas, and I don't remember exactly where the load went, to be honest with you. It was a 13-hour drive, I remember that, and I went straight through except for one part where I kind of got in trouble. I pulled up to this port, and on my dispatch sheet it told me I was picking up bananas, and there's a line for bananas. Okay, it's got this whole separate building for bananas. I've been there to pick up bananas before. And when I came up to the guard shack and I went to go get in line for bananas, the guy starts waving me down. He says, oh, no. You're going to go around the back of the building to a different loading door, which I thought was kind of strange. But I followed his instructions, and he led me off. And then back then, I didn't have my TWIC card, so I had to have an escort while I was in the port. And this particular time, instead of being escorted by a feller on a golf cart, I was escorted by a black SUV. And I get back to a barbed wire, you know, 12-foot barbed wire fence. And it opens up with, a garage door opener. The SUV goes through. I follow the SUV. We were going all the way in the back of this building. There's no one there. It is just an empty parking lot. And if you've ever been on a port, there is no such thing as empty on a port. This was a secured section. So the guy pulls up to my door. He gets out of his truck and he looks at me and says, don't get out of your truck no matter what. I'm going to open your doors. You're going to back up to that door right there. And there's one door in the back of this building, mind you. Maybe there was two, but I'm pretty sure it was just one. And he says, don't get out of the truck. I'm going to open your doors. I'm going to have you bump the dock. Then I'm going to set your brakes. I'm going to disconnect your trailer. I'll be back. Don't get out of your truck. Whenever I'm done, I'll come back. I'll hook your trailer back up. You'll pull forward. I'll close your doors. I'll lock and seal you. You're going to go on your way. I'll explain the rest in a moment. I said, okay. So he does. He opens my doors for me. I back in, hit the dock, set the brakes. He disconnects the trailer. And the guy gets in his truck and drives off real quick. And I just sat back. And I wasn't sure how long it was going to take. So I started to go back into the bunk and make some Hot Pockets or, you know, something to snack on while I was waiting for it to get loaded. And I felt the forklift hit the truck and the whole trailer shakes. You know, I'm sure you both have experienced being loaded before, especially when something heavy hits your truck. Mm-hmm. And then I feel it go off the trailer And about then is when the microwave dings and I pull my hot pockets out. I go sit back in the driver's seat and the guy comes back around and says, all right, you're done. Pull forward. I was like, man, that was awfully fast. You only hit the truck once. He says, you're done. Pull forward. There was no conversation to be had. So I went ahead and I pulled the truck forward. He told me again not to get out of the truck. And then he locked it with his own lock. And he says, now, I put my own lock on there. You don't have a key to it. I have a key to it. Don't even look at the back of your trailer. Here's your bills. And he hands me a sheet. And on the sheet, it says one pallet, 13,000 pounds of bananas.
I guess that their line really is, yes, we have no bananas today.
So I tried to bring up some conversation. Bananas, one pallet of bananas? Don't look at your trailer. Here's the rules. You're going to hit the road. You are now officially logbook exempt. You don't even have to stop at scale houses. You just keep going. If you need to take a break, you can shut down outside of 8 hours of drive. But the truck cannot sit for more than 30 minutes, and you must call me the moment you stop.
Wow.
I said, okay. And he wrote his phone number on the piece of paper and all that. And I said, okay. So I got in the truck. I took off. I get out about eight and a half hours down the road, and my stomach started grumbling. And I was hungry, and I didn't want Hot Pockets. So I'd pulled off to get some fuel, and I figured, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and grab a quick bite at Denny's. And now, I wasn't being escorted, to my knowledge. I pulled in. I parked the truck so that whenever I was sitting at Denny's, I could pick a table so I could watch my truck. I tried my best to always be able to watch my truck when I was out of it, which you'll completely understand later on after another story. And I had just put my order in. Maybe I was out of the truck 15 minutes. And four unmarked, blacked out SUVs swarmed my truck in the parking lot.
Wow.
And my cell phone started ringing. And needless to say, I had to leave that Denny's without any food and leave. And I ate a Hot Pocket instead.
That's crazy.
So 13 hours go in, it's dark. And I think it was like a Saturday or a Sunday. It was an oddball day because I was thinking to myself, this place isn't even going to be open when I get there to take these bananas. But he assured me that they'd be open and willing to take me. So I get up to this place, and it wasn't set off in a mountain or anything crazy like that, but it was tucked away in the woods. It was kind of off in a little back road, and it's just this random warehouse in the middle of nowhere. And I pull up to this 12-foot barbed wire fence, and there's no camera, there's no keypad, there's no any access point that I can tell whatsoever. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, how am I supposed to get in? Maybe I'm not even at the right spot, you know. And I'm just about to call this guy's phone number again, and all of a sudden, every light in the entire building came on all at once, and the gates started opening. Like they've seen me come up. I guess they must have had a camera somewhere. And all of a sudden, the whole place lit up like Christmas, and the gates started opening. And I pulled in, and another black SUV came around the corner. And I guess he had the matching key. It might even been the same guy. And he told me the exact same thing the other guy did. Back up to that dock door there. You wait. I'll open your doors. Do not get out of your truck. And then as soon as I was done, he said, there's a parking lot 3.5 miles down the road. You can take a break there. Get the hell out of here.
Wow.
Go on. Get out of here now. Get.
Now, what's interesting about that, though, is that I was never swept for radiation. Mm-hmm. And that actually happens pretty often. Bananas do hold radiation. There's a handful of things that you can haul that they will sweep for radiation for when you're doing refrigerated. And I was bypassed. I was in the bypass lane the whole time. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go. And it was kind of strange, you know?
Yeah.
10,000 pounds, one or 13,000 pounds, one pallet of bananas.
Some heavy bananas.
Some weird bananas.
Yes, it is.
Some really high priority bananas. Wow. Going in the middle of the woods.
Yep. With black SUVs following you around. And when you actually stop for dinner, they just all show up.
And the weird part is I never seen them following me at all.
Wow.
You know, and I've been tailed a ton of times hauling like medical supplies and drugs and stuff like that.
Right.
I've been tailed a ton of times and I never once seen these guys, but wherever they were close because I wasn't stopped for 15 minutes where they were on my truck.
Wow.
You know, so they must have been pretty good at hiding, or they had GPS on that trailer. Probably both.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, it's probably both.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Holy cow.
What was that? Were you an independent operator at the time?
No, I've never been independent. That was for a smaller company that I used to work for. Smaller in the terms of over the road. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad I don't work for them anymore. I've heard that their ethics and I've heard they've become a much better company since I left. But when I left there, I was still making 24 cents a mile.
Wow.
That's pretty bad.
How long ago was that?
6 years ago. I left there to come here.
Okay.
And I haven't looked back since. You know, I mean, it was the kind of company that when you ask for new tires in your truck, half the time you come back in and the tires that they put on your truck were in worse shape than the ones that took off.
And they're like, what? They're different. They're different tires.
We gave you other tires.
They didn't treat me very well. Matter of fact, they knew because they'd gotten a phone call from the company I work for now asking what kind of an employee I was, right? And they actually stranded me in West Texas so that I wouldn't make my interview.
Wow.
Holy cow. Nice.
Yeah, I'm really glad I don't work there anymore. But yeah, like I said, I've heard that they've turned things around. So I hope that they have.
Yeah, for their sake, because in the industry nowadays, it's like, you know, there's too many opportunities out there now. There's just way too much.
Yeah.
You know, drivers don't need that kind of bull. They just don't. Yeah. They'll go someplace else. They're like, I'm out. You know, I had a job when I came here and I'll have a job when I leave here.
All right. So let's not get too far off topic, guys. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, imagine you pulling the reins in.
I know, right?
Getting off topic.
Exactly.
Listen, I get off topic when I want to get off topic. I don't want to get off topic right now. So first of all, I want to ask you this. What's up? Did that run pay well? Like Todd, I mean, he's like, I made more money that run than I did the whole previous month.
You know, I couldn't tell you because I was working for that company. Right. It might have paid them well.
Hey, I was just going to say it probably paid them really well.
I was making 20 regular, some cents a mile.
Yep. You got your regular mileage rate and that was it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't get any bonuses for it.
Man. Then you should have definitely peeked in the back.
Yeah, as he's unlocking the door, he gets shot. Right, there you go.
Yeah. Four
black USBs show up.
Maybe it was an alien in a plastic box. I don't know. I wasn't going to look.
One pallet, 1,300 pounds. That's right around
13,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah, 13,000 pounds. That's 13,000.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That was a pallet of bananas.
That's huge. That's huge. Because the story of the Kandahar Giant, when they flew that thing out, it was 1,200 pounds on one pallet. But 13,000 pounds on one pallet. That's an awful. What kind of pallet is that? I mean,
I don't know. I've hauled all sorts of stuff. I've moved the cable that they put inside of tires. Those are heavy, heavy pallets. I've moved toilet paper before it's cut and processed. Those go on in giant rolls. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I've moved pallets of salt. There's a lot of stuff I've moved. I've moved Sea-Doos and four wheelers and ice cream. You name it, I've moved it damn near. If it can go on a box trailer or a flatbed or a tank, I've done it. So,
yeah.
I hear that.
Man.
Yeah, now Tony's thinking, he's like, I wonder what that could be.
Yeah. And where was this at again? Like, what? It was theoretically a banana place?
So the port does a lot of everything. You know, you could be pulling gun parts to toilet paper, groceries, TVs. It's the port of Baltimore. Stuff comes from overseas. It's all coming off of ships. So you never really know what you're going to get. But one of the places I know in there, they always get a load of bananas on like clockwork. And then it goes everywhere from there. And if it's not the Port of Baltimore, because it's been 9 years, I don't remember. But I think it was the Port of Baltimore, but I can't remember which. It might not have been. It was a major shipping port off the East Coast, you know. And it was just pallets and pallets of bananas came out of there all the time. And when they load you, it was really, really cool because they'd let you get out of the truck. You could watch them load, and they'd load four pallets at once.
Wow.
They had the double tine forklifts, so they could pick up a pallet on the right, pallet on the left, and they double stack them and then run four in at once. And that's impressive. Those guys don't miss a beat. It barely squeezes in the side of the trailer. So watching them load bananas is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
Did you say you did have a reefer?
Yeah, I had a reefer, yeah. I can't remember what I had it set to, Tony, so don't ask.
Yeah, for the bananas.
Well, yeah, no, but I'm trying
It was on and running. I just don't remember what it was set
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't get out of the truck.
I'm trying
the guy, to figure. The guy that opened my door set my reefer for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't touch my reefer, bro.
Yeah.
The only time I got out of the truck was to go to Denny's, and I got in trouble for it. So.
And wound up eating Hot Pockets anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just trying to see if we got another, you know, alien transportation. What?
This is like Tony's like the shiny thing over here. You know, he's just like his ADD is kicking in. He's like, yeah, that shiny thing. What was on that pallet? 13,000 pounds, 1 pound. What could that have been?
I'll tell you, like, I speaking of being at ports and being told not to get out of a truck, I used to go down to the Philadelphia Naval Yard and, it's totally different than what it was when you used to go down there. I mean, when you used to go down there, Dad, it was, you know, tons of Navy stuff going on. It's not like that anymore. It's a lot of businesses like Urban Outfitters and crap like that. But this one place in the corner I had to go to, and I was never there before, and I wrapped around the building after checking in security and everything, and there's signs everywhere. Drivers, stay in your truck. Back in the dock, stay in the truck. I'm like, all right, I'll stay in the truck, you know? Hanging out there 30, 45 minutes, hour. Nobody's bothering me. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And, you know, I could have called dispatch, but I'm like, this is kind of nice. I'm getting paid better. You know, dispatch is going to be like, you know,
where you been?
You might as well come on back because we got everything taken care of. Cool. Right. You know, don't like driving Philly anyways. But so I'm sitting there for well over an hour, and somebody finally comes over and they're like, what are you doing here? I'm just like, just waiting for somebody to come, you know, load me or whatever I was doing. And they're like, did you check in? I'm like, yeah, security. And they're like, but did you come in and tell us that you're here? I'm like, no, the signs say
drivers stay in your vehicle.
And they're like, those signs are rolled. Nobody does that. I'm just like, well, then take them down, sucker. Like,
no, but thank you for the break.
Yeah.
I mean, I have enjoyed myself for an hour.
Yeah. I mean, this
YouTube is wonderful.
Yeah. Perks of the job, right? Netflix. I caught up on my Netflix shows. It was great. But, oh man, Andrew. Okay. So that's an interesting story. And I, you know, I hope that this is a call to all of the people listening to the show. If you transported something weird, we want to hear about it.
We want to know.
I want to hear about it. I mean, that's interesting. You drove through a hurricane. Tell me this story. Yeah.
I was down in Louisiana. I was working my way back up out of Florida, and there's not a lot of freight that moves through Florida. You get a couple loads of fish, and it's about it. There's other freight you can pull, but we were pretty limited. So we would oftentimes come back almost empty and just try to snag whatever product we could on the way back up. And they had me picking up some freight in Louisiana, and the hurricane, I'd seen it on the news, but I didn't really put two and two together, had worked across the Gulf side, and I was running the east side originally. So I wasn't affected by it at first. Without even thinking about it, I hit the highway and I start going, and it starts raining, and some of the worst rain and wind I'd ever driven through. Couldn't see where I was going. And I had finally gotten to the point where I was just fed up. I wasn't doing it no more. I was going to pull off and get a cup of Joe. So I hit this truck stop for a cup of coffee. And mind you, I've been driving for like 4 or 5 hours through this nasty sideways wind. You know, I mean, the trailer was sliding on across the road. It was wicked. It was some of the worst weather I've driven in. Some of being the key word, because I've driven in some really nasty stuff. And I pull into the truck stop. I go into the diner. I sit down at the bar and ask for a cup of Joe. And all the drivers are sitting. I mean, the place is packed, absolutely packed. And I was kind of confused, but I didn't think much of it until I sat down and they had the weather station playing on the television above the bar. And lo and behold, they're all watching this hurricane rip through where we're all sitting. And of course, we're on the outer edge of it at this point. And I stopped and I realized, I'm like, holy crap, did I just drive through that? Everybody at the bar just stopped and stared at me like I was crazy. Yeah. I mean, not the most entertaining story in the world, but it definitely was. It was some really bad rain. It was sideways, and my trailer didn't want to stick to the road.
Wow, that's scary when that starts to happen. Yeah. That's freaking scary.
Yeah,
now, my trainer, one of my good friends, I actually work with him here. he was telling me one time about a fella that he had training with him before me, and he was up on the eastern side when a hurricane had come up that way, and they had closed a bunch of the roads, and he was stuck in a rest area. And they're sitting there, and there's porta potties blowing across the street, wow. and all the trucks are parked as tight together as humanly possible so that way they don't flip over. You know, and they're just laying there in the tree. You can hear your truck hit one truck and then hit the other truck, right. just rocking back and forth.
Holy cow.
And this poor trainee has never been on the road before in his life. It was his first trip out, and he's about to crap his pants. Yeah. And he says, "What do we do? What do we do?" And my buddy looked at him and says, "I don't fucking know. I must have missed hurricane day in school."
Wow. So, I tell you what,
you do got to put up with some of that when you're over the road.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I think we've done the tropical storm thing here, but I think it was last November we had a tropical storm go through here, and we were working and driving in it, and it was just everything was flooded. I mean, it took me forever to do anything. And then I was like, this day sucks. Like, I don't want to be working right now. This sucks. I was drenched the moment I got in my truck to leave the terminal. Like, it just, everything sucked. And then I got through like my first two or three stops. And then my wife's calling me, telling me the basement is like, you know, totally flooded. And she also texted and said, that the kitchen ceiling let loose. And I was like, good enough for me. I called dispatch and like, I'm coming back. I'm going home. My house is dying.
My house is falling apart. What the heck?
It was crazy. But yeah, even
the joys of home ownership. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was full on effect of Operation Save the Studio, you know? But
yeah,
because I had just built it at that time. It was only a few months old. And to leave, though, I went in this one place to do a delivery, my last delivery of the day, turned out. And when I was there for maybe 15 minutes max. And by the time I went to leave, I couldn't go the one way because it's no truck. So I go the other way, and the little creek turned into a rushing river.
Where'd the road go?
Yeah. I mean, I drove through it and stuff carefully.
Of course.
But on the other side of it, they had already taped it off. And so I didn't want to just drive through the tape because then, you know, some knucklehead's going to go down there with no tape and like, oh, I guess I can just do it. So right. I stopped, and I was already soaking wet. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped and I got out of the truck to move the tape, and the water's rushing over like my knees, you know. And I moved the tape and I pulled through. And as I'm pulling through, this Mustang comes down the road up to the water. And I told him, I said, oh, dude, I said, you're not going to make it through that. Because I could feel my trailer being pulled.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't think so? He's a Russian guy. And I was like, man, he's Russian. So he's going to like, oh, I got this. Like, these are Russian guys, man. They're tough guys, you know?
Yeah, you could try.
and he went up to it and he started trying, I think. If I remember correctly, he started trying and he like kind of gave up and kind of went back and stuff. But I was just like, this dude's crazy. Like, I'm watching it thinking he's going to get swept away. He's going to get swept away. And then I'm going to be late for dinner.
Yeah, his Mustang's going to turn into a boat.
Yeah.
A sinking boat.
Submarine. Yeah.
Yeah. Little blue submarine. But
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. I mean, like, for the job, you have to drive in all kinds of weather. And yes, so, I mean, would it have been an option for you to not to drive in that, though? I mean, with the company of care? Oh,
of course I could have shut down. But let me tell you something. Like Mike, that one feller that he calls in all the time on the hotline.
Oh, toot toot.
Yep.
Yeah, toot toot. Listen, if you're listening, don't you ever let them put you in a situation you're not comfortable doing.
Yep.
If they tell you you got to drive and you don't feel comfortable, you tell them to go F themselves.
Yep.
Because they're not going to fire you because you're being safe. They just won't.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and looking back, I didn't recognize the situation I was in. I was a pretty green driver back then. Mm-hmm. And two, I just didn't care. I wanted to get home. And which is stupid because at the time I didn't have anything to get home to, you know, now I got a wife and the kids and all sorts of things. And back then I was single and it didn't matter. And I did so many stupid things. My life has changed so much in the last 10 years. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Now that's what happens. You know, life changes, and as life changes, so do we, you know.
Yeah.
The perspective becomes different. I can't tell you how many times I've looked back on dumb stuff I've done. I'm like, I can't believe I was driving like that. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, you do what you have to.
Listen, I got a couple of stories in this little list I sent y'all's that I probably should have went to jail for, and I was a major idiot.
Oh, tell me about something. I mean, you pick one.
You pick and you let us go ahead.
All right. So there was this one time I was coming down out of Washington State, and I was across the I-80, and I think it's called the Seven Sisters. You got to remember, it's been a while since I've been out there. Mm-hmm. But it's a series of mountainous hills, basically. They're not really mountains, they're just hills, and the very tallest one is the furthest west. So if you're headed east, you'll work your way down to the shortest one. And you go down, and then you'll come gradually back up. And you go down, and you come gradually back up, kind of like a roller coaster. And it's perfectly straight. And when I mean perfectly straight, I mean absolutely perfectly straight for probably 15, 20 miles. You can see all the way down to the end when you're at the top of the hill. And me and my buddy, I was team driving with him at the time, had a bet going for $20 to see who could get the truck going the fastest. We were in a governed truck. It was governed at 65 miles an hour. And up until this point in the trip, he was in the lead, reaching speeds of 85. Wow. Now, the speedometer only goes to 80, but I have one of them fancy GPSs, and it tracks your speed.
Right.
So we were able to confirm 85. Which he thought was pretty darn quick until he was asleep in the bunk when I came to the top of that hill, and I decided I really wanted to beat him. And there was nobody out there, so I thought, and I let her into neutral.
I can see where this is going.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing holding you back.
I let her into neutral on purpose, all knowing what was about to happen.
And,
the truck starts shaking at about 90.
Wow.
And I mean violently shaking. It wakes him up. He gets up out of the bunk, and he's standing there in his boxer shorts holding on to both of the O-ship bars, screaming, "What the hell's going on?" And I casually look back at him and said, "I'm about to win $20.
We're all going to die, but I'm going to get $20.
As we're cooking down this hill, we're watching the GPS speed, and it's climbing to 100, 110, 115, 120. It gets up to 125, and it pauses. Now, we can still feel our momentum gaining, but the GPS stopped tracking at 125, and the next thing I know, the screen goes blank, and it says connection to satellite lost. I don't know how fast we were going.
Wow, even the satellites can't keep up.
We were doing 125 or better.
Wow. when you finally came to a stop, was it 1955?
Listen, maybe.
Holy
the worst
crap.
Part was, like I said, it's a straight stretch. You can see all the way to the end. Unfortunately, there was a minivan between hills 4 and 5 when I made that decision to release the gears. Uh-huh. And whenever I realized there was a van there, there was nothing I could do but pass her. Because there's no braking. There's no stopping.
No, exactly. Yeah, not at that speed.
You know, you hold on and you wait for her to slow down. That's the best you can do. And that poor minivan.
Oh,
I blew that minivan's doors the fuck off. She pulled off on the shoulder. I think she might have crapped herself.
What just went by?
I mean, it was, and you got to think this truck was the ugliest color. It literally, from the dealership, Peterbilt calls it baby snot green.
Oh,
it
wow.
is the ugliest color you've ever seen in your life. This baby snot blur just blew her doors off. I felt so bad for her. Because you know the wind coming off the front of that truck had to have been immense.
Oh, my word, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I love that. So that was when I outran my GPS.
That's crazy. That is. I mean, that sounds so freaking scary to me. Were you scared at all, or were you just like, I'm winning $20?
You know, not at the time, but whenever we slowed down and I was able to drop her back into gear, I was shaking like a leaf.
I bet. Yeah. Holy cow.
I bet. You know, I was holding together pretty good until the moment where I knew that I wasn't going to die happened. And then all that adrenaline just hit me.
Holy crap. I bet going 70 miles an hour felt like you were driving 25 miles an hour.
I mean, 65 feels pretty slow now. I mean, yeah. I'm not in a truck that goes that slow anymore. And I don't even remember what it felt like back then.
Wow.
You know, 125 was a bit much. I felt pretty stupid after that.
Oh my gosh. Like, thank God you didn't wreck. Oh, can you imagine what a wreck going that fast would have looked like?
I just think about a blowout. I mean, really, a blowout of those kind of speeds could have been catastrophic.
Oh my word. Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point. Holy crap.
You know, that's what I said. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot, and I'm glad I'm not that stupid anymore, but it does provide a few good stories.
Yes.
And I was a bit of an outlaw when I started this, you know, I almost went to jail in Oklahoma.
Wow.
Carry on, my man. Tell me about it. Oh, by the way, before you go to this story, I think her name was Mary that said that her kids were going to be required to live. Mary, if you're listening to this, just have your kids skip this episode. So,
Andrew, yes, Mary, I'm very sorry.
Andrew, carry on. I'm digging
it. So I was loading wine out of Barstow, California. And I was bringing it back. I was solo at the time. It's a pretty good haul. It's about 37 hours. And my buddy, my best friend, was getting married that weekend. And dispatch didn't give me enough time to make it back for his wedding. And I was supposed to be his best man. And I was going to be there come hell or high water. So I did what any responsible truck driver of the brand old age of 22 would do. I busted out all the paper logbooks I had in the truck and started scribbling. I'm pretty sure I was running 3 books. I don't know how many energy drinks I took. Me and a team truck passed each other about 12 times on this trip. Same truck. Right. So it's 37 hours if you go the long way. It's 35 hours if you take the toll road. And I was trying to shave a couple hours off because I was running late on time. And I wanted to shower and get dressed. So I decided to take the toll road. The only issue is I didn't have an Oklahoma pass system and I didn't have any cash.
That's going to make it interesting.
Which by the way, it is a $20 toll for a truck to run across there. There's 3 of them, $60 in total. It's $500 per toll if you blow it.
I can get it.
Just so you know, I found that out myself.
Wow.
So I blow through the first 2 tolls across Oklahoma and I get to the very last one. It's the last toll before you go into Missouri. It's like 6 miles from the border. And I figured as soon as I hit Missouri, I'm home free. And I see red and blues come on in the rearview mirror. And that was when I knew I was in trouble. So I stop the truck and this state trooper walks up. And he tells me to get out of the truck and bring my logs and my registration, insurance, and bill of lading with me. Mm-hmm. So I obliged. And I get down out of the truck. I take all my stuff and tells me to sit in the passenger seat with him. And I mean, I am red-eyed. I don't know how many Red Bulls, Super B energy pills I've taken that day. I was red-eyed. And he asked me probably 6 times if I was on drugs. At which point he wanted to see my insurance and my bill of lading. And I'm holding this logbook in my hand and I'm so tired. I don't even know if I'm holding the right one. So he's thumbing through my paperwork and I'm trying to generate some communication because this guy's just stone cold, right? Doesn't want to talk. And I'm trying to generate some sort of camaraderie so that maybe I might get fortunate enough this guy give me a warning or just give me a ticket.
Right.
Because you got to think at this point, I am well over my logs. I just blew through 3 tolls. They could hold me for quite a bit at this point.
Right.
And at the very least, shut me down, you know, for sure. And I didn't realize that they time and date stamp the bills at the wine place.
Yeah.
Because he's reading this over and he sees the time and the date and he looks at me and says, son, do you have anybody else in that truck with you? No, sir. Are you certain you don't have another driver in that truck with you? Yes, sir. It's just me. It's just me. And he gives me this weird sideways glance, right? Because he's putting the numbers together and he's realizing this shit don't add up. And I said, sir, do you want to see my logbooks? And he said, son, I don't think you want me looking at your logbook today. And right about then, his radio crackles up and he throws all my paperwork into my lap and says, today's your lucky day, son. Get the hell out of my car.
Wow. You talk about lucky day.
I said, what's going on? He says, I got a wrong way driver I got to tend to. You be safe. Have a good day.
Safe as
get
campaign.
The hell out of my truck or out of my car. And yes, sir. And I got out of his car. He sped off and I got my truck and crossed the Missouri line and I never looked back. Wow. I think I stayed clear out of Oklahoma for 6 months just out of principle.
Yeah. Wow.
Holy cow. I got to ask, did you make it to the wedding on time?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
It was a fantastic wedding.
That's it. That's all. Because you know everybody's going, well, did he make it?
Yeah,
I did. I made it on time. It was a fantastic wedding.
Oh, that's great.
You know, the best and worst day of my buddy's life.
I'm assuming the marriage didn't work out great.
Oh, it's working out so far. Just, you know, it's a marriage.
Yeah.
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 He's got three kids now. He's modestly happy for where he's at. And I think he has about the average amount of fights, about the average amount of things. So, you know.
I'm not going there.
Listen, modestly happy.
Listen. Wednesday this coming week. So people are going to hear this. And in 2 days on Wednesday is my 14th wedding anniversary. So I'm not saying anything. Andrew, you're not getting me in trouble.
Are you modestly happy, sir?
I'm not saying anything.
That's what I was going to say. That's awesome, Andrew.
I am super happy. I am jolly. You ain't rocking me off this boat, buddy. No.
But you enjoy your anniversary. Well, congratulations.
I'm planning on it.
It takes a lot of work to put up with that kind of misery. I mean,
I know. Sometimes it's like not even a boat. It's more like a skidoo or you're on a surfboard. You know, sometimes you're just out there alone and the sharks are circling. Listen.
We got to
change. No, I hear you, Tony. I mean, I've been married for 4, almost 5 years now, which is a fraction of the time that you've been tied down. But I'll tell you this, is that I do love my wife very much, and I wouldn't do anything in the world to jeopardize her or my relationship with her. You know, she gave me my children.
I hear that.
It doesn't mean that sometimes you don't want to go to the zoo, though. You know, there are other animals out there.
Or sometimes you feel like you're in the zoo.
Sometimes you are in the zoo. You are 100% right. That's about where my life's at. I got toddlers, man.
God bless you. Yep. Up and down that road. And it's same. That day is here and gone. And ours are all older now and on their own.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I
love them all.
And by the way, baby, I know you'll be listening. I love you. Please don't get mad at me.
Yet.
She's a pretty avid listener to your shows, too.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks for listening, ma'am.
You know what? The reality is, the truth is, you know, we all joke about it and we all have a fun time with it. But, you know, if you love your wife, you know, that's all fun.
I mean,
it's all just
if we were really that miserable, we'd all be single right now.
You got that right.
I mean, in all honesty, my wife had plenty of options or
reasons.
Well, in all honesty, your wife could have done a lot better than you.
100%. Yeah. And she should have. That's her bad.
She should have thought more.
Yeah. I mean,
I tell my wife the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
She had plenty of opportunity to say, see you later, knucklehead. Like, I mean, you were there for it, Dad. Yeah. I mean, most people have been like, this is a golden opportunity to get out of this mistake. And
I might be missing something. Did the preacher man ask her 4 times or something if she was sure?
Is this the guy you won? Huh? What? Did you look at him?
I'm telling you. Somebody should have, like, you know, I don't know, put a pause on it for her or something, made her really think about it.
No worries.
I was crazy. Like, I'm still crazy, but I was really crazy when I was younger. And she put up with a lot. So I got a lot of respect. 14 years for her. Good job.
Absolutely.
Good job, Linz.
What's next on your list, buddy? What do you want to talk about now?
You mentioned about there's a couple of times that you almost went to jail. I want to hear, is there another time that you almost got arrested or something?
Not over the road. But
that's a funny way to start that little, you know, well, not over the
road.
I was
off duty and...
Hang on 1 second, guys. You guys have a wonderful day. Be safe.
All right.
No, he's talking to the customer.
I'm working, remember?
I was like, wow, what's going on? Okay.
He's talking I had to hand over a delivery ticket.
Jack, don't cut any of this out.
No, leave it in. It's hilarious. That's what happens when you get old. Your mind's like, oh, okay, I guess he's out.
Dad's like, okay,
something happened.
I guess 40 minutes it is.
Show's over. Everybody go home.
And on next week's show,
don't forget to turn out the lights.
There was one time where I got pulled over and I was only wearing my underwear.
Okay. I'm game.
That's actually happened more than once. I had a really bad, I don't like wearing shorts
or pants.
I do wear pants, but pants get constricting when you're driving that long. So I took a real homey feel to my truck. Okay. That chair was both my office space, my driving seat and my recliner. So sometimes I would, on a long dark stretch in the middle of nowhere, I would drive him underwear. And I got stopped one time for making an illegal U-turn, to which that wonderful cop in Arkansas gave me a break on. And he asked if I wanted to step out of the truck. And I said, no, sir, I really don't want to do that. And he started to ask why. And I said, well, you see, the issue is I'm not wearing any pants. And of course he had to look. So he steps up on my running steps and peers in. He says, well, at least you got britches on. I said, well, that's true. At least I got britches on.
Hop on.
That's happened
here
a couple times.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
That's happened a couple times. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never driven over the road. I guess I guess I can sympathize. And you know, if you're driving that long and stuff, you want to relax and stuff. And, you know.
Well, I mean, here's the biggest issue. You get. I don't even know if this is appropriate for the show, but you get butt sweat, man.
Oh, for sure.
All right? You got to readjust sometimes. When you're sitting in that seat for that long a period of time, yeah, sometimes you just got to get comfortable, because otherwise it's going to be a miserable next 400 miles.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
You know, yeah. And you can't do that with blue jeans on. I'm sorry. You know, unless you get up out of your chair and, you know,
move around,
pray that it goes straight down the road with the cruise set, which right is very dangerous, and I've never done that.
Yeah.
Says the guy who lost track of the satellite.
At 125.
I've never done that.
Right.
Well, you know, so... Like I said, I was a little stupider back then, a lot stupider back then. I don't do that kind of stuff now. Actually, this month here, I'm coming up on 825,000 safe driving miles. Wow, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yep. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, there's nothing to be congratulating me about. I'll tell you, there's a lot of drivers out there with a whole lot better records than me that deserve a lot more praise. Every day you're out here, you're paying attention to these boneheads that aren't paying attention. You know, if you come home without an incident, you probably saved somebody's life at least once. You know, there's always at least one incident in which you seen it coming and were able to move or divert or stop or even accelerate in some circumstances to which you were able to prevent an incident from occurring. And people don't realize that we do that all day, every day. You know, one of the things that I've always, when people ask me what driving's like, I tell them, well, imagine sitting in math class for 11 hours straight, trying to concentrate on some really difficult algebra, because you're constantly working the numbers and trying to predict what's happening next in a constantly moving world.
Yes.
And it's exhausting. You know, I've heard you say many times that it's very tiring, you know, and you're right. It is. You just get used to the tired.
Yes.
You know, I'll get home after a 14, 15 hour shift, and I'll still stay up with my kids for another 6-7 hours if I can, you know, until the kids go to bed. I'll watch movies, pop popcorn, eat dinner, you know, the whole nine yards, play with them in the backyard. And I have friends come over and say, how are you still awake right now? So you just get used to the tired.
Yes, you do. Your life is just, you know, tired all the time, and you're just.
But it is—it's that kind of exhausting. It's like sitting in class all day long trying to learn something almost impossible.
Yeah.
You know, the level of focus that you have on the road. You know, I guarantee you, at any moment when you're going down the road, you can tell exactly how many cars that are blue, yellow, or green on the right side of your truck, and exactly the same amount of cars on the left. You know, you're constantly keeping track of who's behind you, who's on the right side of you, who's on the left side of you. What if you have a blowout? Where are you going to go? You know, what if that car in front of you hits that next car in an ice storm? Are they going to pinwheel sideways to the left? Are they going to come back over to the right? Are they going to catch the wall? How is that going to react to you a half mile down the road? And those are the calculations you're constantly running, and it's exhausting, and people don't realize it.
Yep. Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. You are constantly trying to predict somebody else's move. And how do you do that? How do you predict what somebody else is going to do? You know, it's constantly trying to figure it out.
Paying attention is all it is. You're constantly paying attention and putting together patterns.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many drivers you go down the road, you'll look up, you know, 4 or 5 car lengths ahead of you. And you can be like, that guy's on a cell phone. That guy's watching Netflix. That dude's putting on makeup or what, you know, whatever. Every single car, you can damn near predict what they're doing in the cab before you ever get up to the cab to see.
Yeah.
Because you've seen it all before.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was just saying, the ones that drive me crazy are the guys who are driving trucks with their foot up on the dash, and they've got a movie playing on their iPad on the dash, and you're like, what in the world is going on? Dude, you are a rolling problem. You're an accident that's just looking for a place to happen. That is just a pet peeve of mine. When I see these guys who get so relaxed in their truck that it's like, I don't want to be around you. I do not want to be around you when the poop hits the fan, because it's going to hit the fan and you're not going to be able to react. That's just my own take on it after almost 30 years of doing this. That's stuff that just drives me crazy, because those are the problems that are looking for a place to happen.
And I'll agree with you 100%, but I'll take it one further from a first responder's point of view. Aside from the fact that they're watching TV, if your foot's on your dashboard, I don't care if you're in a truck or if you're in a car, that is a serious, serious issue. Anytime your feet are up on the dashboard, you have the potential to lay their feet right through a windshield, break your knees straight through your sockets.
Yes.
There is so much damage that can be done. That's not where your feet are supposed to go. I see it all the time. I see it all the time.
Yes.
There's a guy at the Norristown terminal that he's an EMT as well. And so he's seen enough carnage from accidents and stuff that when he's driving his trailer, his steering wheel is all the way pushed forward towards the dashboard, and his seat is pushed all the way back towards the back wall of his truck.
That's how I ride too.
Yep. Yeah. He doesn't want that thing near him at all. And, that wasn't me at all. I would sit low, sit back, but my steering wheel was, you know, forward so I could have an easier time holding it. But he was, you know, if he struggled to reach the steering wheel, that's fine. He didn't want it in his lap at all.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most or definitely. People that put their hands inside of the spaces of your steering wheel.
Yeah.
If you ever hit a curb and you feel like the steering wheel is going to rip out of your hands, that's a very minor feeling compared to an accident or a major blowout or a rollover.
Yes.
People break their hands that way.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Holy cow.
You know, there are so many ways to get hurt out here that you can't even keep track. Yeah. You know, and all you can do is just pray for the best and do the best you can. Because there is just too many possibilities for injury. Yes. And people don't take it seriously.
No, they don't. I agree with that. 100% they do not take it seriously. And it's just no matter whether you're in a car or in a big truck, I don't care which it is, it's a serious thing. You're moving anywhere from 35 miles an hour when you're in town or whatever to, you know, some people blow by you at 75 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. And you're like, you know, this is that's the span of speed that people are doing. And you're distracted. You're on your phone. You're reading the paper. You're looking at a book. You're watching a movie. You're watching YouTube. Are you kidding me? At 80 miles an hour? Are you nuts? You know, this is the stuff that just I see it all the time and it drives me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even talk on the phone at home when I'm sitting on the couch without my headset on. Mm-hmm. It's become part of me. You know, sure. I can't talk on the phone without my headset.
I just saw a picture on Instagram, and maybe Lindsay even posted it on her Instagram. It was a trucker walking the beach with his beach towel and his headset on.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I mean, to hold the phone in my hand feels wrong instantaneously.
So yeah. you know a trucker from a mile away because they're still wearing the headset. So,
hey, let me tell you something gross I've seen before we run too far out of time here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, it's been a while, so I don't remember exactly where I was. I know I was at a truck stop, and we were team driving. It was me and my buddy, and we had pulled off for a quick break. We had a few hours before we had to be at the next stop, and it was kind of late in the evening. We stopped for a snack. By the way, we've been kicked out of more than one TA buffet. All you can eat bacon apparently does not mean all you can eat bacon.
They don't really mean it.
I'm telling you. There was one time where we were surprised we didn't get kicked out because we showed up just before breakfast ended, ate all the breakfast food, and then stayed for the lunch menu. And they got smart. They started charging us twice.
They catch on eventually.
I mean, you know, you can only do that so many times. But we were parked at this truck stop, and it was late in the evening. And me and my buddy are just sitting up in the front seats talking when a lot lizard gets down out of this feller's truck and proceeds to walk over to the fuel island, reach down into that 5-gallon bucket of nasty freaking bug wash fluid, take the squeegee head off the stick, stick it up under her skirt, and scrub her working bits with the nasty bug wash fluid, and then proceed to climb into another truck.
Wow.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, all of that is one thing. What does it say about that driver that she's climbing back into somebody else's truck? What does that say about
him? My question is, how many times did she do that?
Oh, my word.
That day.
Oh, you know what?
She does that in between each truck.
I can tell you this.
What are you really washing your windshield with?
Could
you imagine the smell of that woman?
I am never washing my windshield at a truck stop again, ever. That's all I got to say
to
that.
It was, wow. I mean, I have smelled dead bodies, and I'm going to tell you, the smell that I imagined was worse than that. I don't want to ever see that again. That was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, I can imagine that. I don't even know what to say other than don't wash your windshield.
It must be a friendly scent for truckers. She gets in the truck and he's like, you smell like
scent for truckers.
Like,
oh gosh.
You smell like window clean.
Another addition to your beard oil.
Trucker scent.
Yeah. I got to send that over to Scott and have him make up a trucker blend that smells like windshield wiper fluid. We'll just call it so fresh and so clean.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
My word.
Unreal, man.
Mary, we're sorry.
Is that a hint of catfish I smell?
Wow.
All right. Well, since we talked about that, before we end this interview here, I want you to tell the story of when you got into a fight with a pimp.
Oh,
I forgot about that one.
I put that one on the list.
I was thinking we were going to talk about getting stranded in Effingham because it's a little bit about poop and this story hasn't gone poopy yet. So
no, we'll say poop for another show. I think we need to give poop a break. Right. Okay. Everybody listening right now, let's try giving poop a little bit of a break on this show. Okay. It doesn't need to be a staple. But we can bring that. Listen, you got a lot of stuff on this list. I'm sure we can do another interview. We can oblige you and the listeners, and we can talk about poop that episode because I know everybody seems to really just really like to talk about poop.
Yeah. Well, definitely the next time. I'll gladly talk about getting into a fight with a pimp. But the next time, if I do get to come back on, I'd really like to tell the story about how Jesus saved my life in the 18-wheeler, because that was a very incredible jaw-dropping moment from not only myself, but the people around my truck.
Cool.
I wish I knew those people that were passing by so that I could get their statements. You know, I would have loved to have seen it from the outside perspective. It was an intense story.
I mean, go for it. Yeah, just tell that story then, because I mean, you're already painting the picture. I mean, I don't want to.
It's a good tease for the next time you're on. It's like, holy crap!
I don't want to wait.
Well, go right ahead.
We'll save the pooping pimps for later.
Go for it.
I don't think that the pimp pooped himself, but I'm not real sure. I was driving south on a road out of Iowa into Missouri called US 61. And I was headed back home to home terminal. It was raining pretty good that night. And I know that everybody's hydroplaned a time or two, you know, hydroplaning. Personally, I think it happens more in big trucks especially when you're loaded and your tread's low than cars half the time. People just don't realize it because we balance well. And I was coming down this grade and there's forest to my right. The wind's coming from my right to my left. And it's a two-lane highway, two-lane divided. So there's two lanes going south, two lanes going north. And I didn't realize how windy it was because the forest to my right was blocking it. And I started hydroplaning. I felt myself hydroplaning. I didn't think a whole lot of it. I was in a straight stretch. There was a couple cars a good little bit behind me. And as soon as the forest line ended, it opened up into a big field. And this wind hit the side of my truck right when I was hydroplaning. And the entire truck went sideways on the highway. There was absolutely nothing I could do. You know, I felt the entire truck shift. And the next thing I could feel was my steer tires dragging the gravel on the left side of the road. And I looked in my mirror and my trailer was dragging the gravel on the right side of the road. I was sideways. And at that moment, I was just praying that I didn't grab traction because I didn't want to roll. I wasn't sure where I was going, but I knew I was in a bad spot and there wasn't anything I could do. And I closed my eyes and I said a prayer. And I didn't move. My steering wheel didn't move. My hands didn't move. I was just sitting in my chair with my eyes closed praying. And then I swear all of a sudden I felt the truck shift. And I had this conscious thought that said, this is it. You're over. You're dead. You just rolled the truck. You're going to be flat on the highway. But nothing happened. And I opened my eyes and I'm going southbound again, straight into my lane. I have no idea how that truck righted itself against the wind. I have no idea. The only thing I can think is it was intervention from the Lord above. And as I straightened the truck out into the right lane and I slowed down, these two cars had caught up to me and both of them were staring at me with their eyes about the size of saucers. And I got back to the terminal that night and I turned my keys in. That was the first time I quit. I didn't actually quit. Mm-hmm. I ended up, a buddy of mine talked me into coming back, but I was done. I was rattled. I never wanted to touch the wheel again. And, I was 100% ready to walk away. And if he hadn't talked me into coming back, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And I'm very thankful for it. But that was the most terrifying and awe-inspiring moment of my career.
I can believe that. That is a scary moment that you cannot plan for. That's crazy.
No, it just hit me out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Since then I've driven a lot of pretty nasty weather. You know, I've ran. By the way, if they tell you to chain up out west, you got to. It's the law.
Okay.
And with that said, a lot of people don't. The kicker here is that they're not necessarily going to pull you over in the middle of a blizzard to write you a ticket. The way they do it is if you slide off the road, mm-hmm. you don't get a wrecker.
Wow.
Wreckers are only for the people that have chains on. So if you have chains on, they'll send a wrecker up after you. But if you have no chains on, you're waiting until the snow melts and you're getting a ticket. So rather than risk it, you always chain up. And there was one time, man, we pulled off because the lights were flashing. And of course, it can be sunny and 80 at the bottom of the mountain. It can be a blizzard at the top. You don't know. So if a sign says chain up, you chain up. And we get up to the next pull off where there's multiple sections going up and down the mountains where you can stop the chain up or chain off. And of course, we see the next sign that says, thank you for participating in this year's annual sign test. It turns out there wasn't any darn snow. They just turned on the sign to make sure the lights work.
Wow.
So there's frustrating parts like that, scattered throughout. I don't know. I could sit here and talk all day. I've got all sorts of stuff. We didn't even touch into any of the medical ones or any of the fires or... there's a ton of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to have you back on again.
Oh, man. My word. Yeah. That'd be, we can't do anything else, but it's been a great time talking with you.
Well, I really enjoyed talking to both of you as well. Even you, Tony. And, it's been a real good time. I'd be honest with you. I've been looking forward to this for a while. So whenever you actually moved the date up on me a little bit, I was more than happy.
Awesome.
And I'm doing nothing but sitting behind a steering wheel every Sunday from 3 a.m. to 5 p.m. So
Gotcha.
Perfect.
That is.
If you ever need somebody to fill in, you just give me a shout.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll make note of that because sometimes, especially recently, we've been juggling the schedule, and some weeks we're just like, if it wasn't for having all these voicemails, we wouldn't have a show. So, yeah, Andrew. Anyways, thanks for coming on and sharing some of this stuff. It's been really interesting,
it funny, really
and all that stuff. So it's been good, and we'll definitely do it again.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you enjoyed it, Dad, what can they do?
You know, we say it week after week, and you're going to just say it with me, everybody. Share the show. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Instagram. Share it on TikTok. I don't care where you share it. Share it on Twitter, whatever. Share it with your friends, your lovers, your frenemies, all of those people. Just share the show.
Text it to people. I don't care.
Yep.
Texting is really underrated. People don't even realize. They're like, well, I shared it on my social media. I'm like, you got 200 people in your direct contacts right there in your phone. Text everybody the freaking link.
Yep. Exactly.
I want you to spam the people that like you until they don't like you anymore.
And and also do us a favor and rate the show.
Yeah.
Rate it.
Yeah.
Leave us a little note as to, you know, what you liked about the show or this or that. We'd love to see that too.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because Andrew told us that. And I'm not sure, we're recording this after we talked to him. I can't remember if we talked to him about this on the air or not, but I don't think we did. He said that one of his coworkers is scheduled to come on and talk to us as well. And so Andrew is a prime example of somebody who's sharing the show and talking to people about it to the point now that we're going to have another guest on the show because Andrew talked to somebody. So please just share the show if you're enjoying it, because if you enjoy it, other people will as well. And that's what makes the world go round.
It is.
And until next week, stay safe. Take care. And that's the wrong one.
Keep the hammer down.
Keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
In the hammer lane. Bye.